Good morning. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3. Do you ever need prayer for strength? I tell you what, sometimes I really do. We were here decorating. We were here pretty late Friday night. And as I was there praying, as we were here decorating, it had been kind of a long day, and I said, God needs strength. There's still stuff to do. And so by the grace of God, we got it all done. We didn't want to have to disturb the birthday party too bad. And so we got it pretty much all done. We had to run in Saturday just a couple minutes and get the last piece done. Now, we had everything up here and we got it all up and along the sides. I need to see if this one's on. And we had everything along the sides here. And as we did, I noticed that we had one strip, that strip along the bottom in the front. And I said, I looked around and I said, okay, these are columns because the way the bricks are. And I looked around and I tried to find out. I said, okay, so where is the other piece? And I looked and I said, where's the last piece? It wasn't no last piece. So we had to make a new one. So we're out late at night and we're finishing up and finally got it done. But you can't just stick it up on the wall and let all your bricks kind of melt on the wall. So we had to let it dry and they came in the next day. And some of those times that you pray for strength and you pray for patience and you see God does a fantastic thing in giving the strength that He needs, doesn't He? You know, sometimes we need strength seems like a small thing for getting something done, like some decorations. But a lot of times we need strength, spiritual strength, to resist temptation, don't we? Or you know, we got somebody that's wearing on us. Wives, it's usually your husband, isn't it? Now, wearing on you, and maybe because of things they want to do, or because of, they're not in the best mood, or whatever the case might be. And so as a result that you sit there and you're like, wow, I need strength so I don't react wrong in this. Sometimes you need physical strength. Sometimes it's spiritual strength. Sometimes it's mental strength. You're tired. It's been a long week. And you just need to be able to concentrate. And when you're reading your Bible and you're praying or you're listening to somebody. And so you need to ask God for strength that way. Well, Paul, he gives a prayer for strength here in the book of Ephesians. We have looked at the book of Ephesians, starting in chapter 1, and understand the book has really got two parts to it. Most of Paul's letters do. He writes here, in the first three chapters, is very theological. It's a doctrinal section. It's talking about God and talking about your relationship with God. He talks about the blessings in chapter 1 that we have. We've been blessed by every spiritual blessing. Chosen to be holy and blameless before Him, predestined to be adopted into God's family, and so accepted and given such rights and privileges, redeemed, so we're forgiven and given a guarantee of inheritance in heaven. That's pretty neat stuff, but it's, you think about it, it's not that practical. It doesn't talk about our relationships. We're told, we're instructed by Jesus Himself to love God with all of our heart, right? And that's the first and greatest commandment. And so I think that's part of the reason that's why Paul is addressing the things the way he is. This isn't about loving your neighbor, but about loving God. And in chapter 1, he continues in a prayer that God will give them understanding to know what he says, what is the hope of God's calling and the riches of our inheritance in Him and the greatness of God's power working in us. In chapter 2, he talks about, he describes some of what God's power does. And what that does, it makes a person spiritually dead, spiritually alive when we put our faith in Him. That's pretty exciting. God's power can do that. We've got a lot of medicines that can do a lot of things. We've got missiles that can intercept other missiles. We can not only go to the moon, but working on going to Mars. I don't know why we want to go to Mars, but to go to Mars, we can do an awful lot of things. But we can't take a spiritually dead person and make them alive. God can. And then this power is such that in doing this, the nature of it is that no matter who you are, your national heritage, your language, your culture, you're bringing up, whether you're rich or you're poor, whether you had a solid family home or an orphan, no matter who you are, when you put your faith in Christ, He breaks down those divisions and makes a new man, a new body, the church. It's a grace that He gives that is just so fantastic. It's a mystery even. And so in chapter 3, Paul describes this mystery that was given to him as a stewardship to share with the Ephesians and the Gentiles as a whole. This mystery that they're no longer Jews and Gentiles, but in Christ, one new one, is by God's grace and His rich grace that this is. He comes down to the end of chapter 3. He's closing this section of who God is and the things that He has done. And he comes here to verse 14. And he says, for this reason, you know, he said that clear back in verse 1. Paul is like some of us. We get to talking about something, and then all of a sudden we got to talk about something else, and then finally get back to it, because we have to explain the story. Paul, he says, for this reason in verse 1, I, Paul, prisoner of Christ, Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, oh, by the way, if indeed... But in verse 14, I don't know that he's necessarily coming back to the same thought, or maybe he is, or maybe he's just summarizing all that he's put together here. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole earth, the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. I take that family as all believers, those who have passed and those that are present. Here on the earth, that He would grant you, that God would grant you according to the riches of His glory. Three things. I'll just put them up right now. That you'll be strengthened. And then He says that you'll be, that being rooted and grounded, and that you'll be full of the fullness of God. He says in verse 16 that He would grant you according to the richness, His glory that is so magnificent, that you would be strengthened with the might through His Spirit in the inner man. What kind of power does God have? Well, He's the only one that could take somebody who's dead spiritually and make them alive. He's the only one that could take a man physically dead and make them alive. And not only make them alive, but so they never die again. He did that in Jesus. He will do that in believers. He has, here it is that God, His prayer is that God would strengthen the Ephesians, that they might, through God's Holy Spirit in their inner man, be strengthened so that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith. We need strengthened for a lot of things. Strengthened to resist temptation, to be at peace at difficult times, to have help to help us when we have times that we need to grow in our faith in Him. When we need to trust Him and not worry, we need strength for that. We need strength to be courageous. We need strength to overcome our own selfishness. We need strength to chase around a bunch of little kids in vacation Bible school. We need strength to do the hard things in life. Here, his prayer is that we'll receive God's strength through his Holy Spirit. Where's his Holy Spirit? His Holy Spirit is in us. We learned that in chapter 1. That God has given us his Holy Spirit as a guarantee of our inheritance. But not only is he sit there like a sticker that's on there. I got no, the Moreheads aren't here today. I've got new stickers too. Garrett liked stickers, and I bought stickers for him. And so you get a sticker, and you stick it on, it means something. You put a sticker on a seal, on a certificate, like a marriage certificate, or like a graduation certificate, a diploma. That sticker, that seal, it means something. But the Holy Spirit is more than just a guarantee. A guarantee of authenticity, a guarantee of eternal life. What it is, who the Holy Spirit is he also is God in us to strengthen us when we need it. God always gives us enough strength to do what he's called us to do, to bring us through what he's brought into our life, even though you won't believe it. Guarantee it. A lot of times that I don't believe it. That God can't give me the strength. Isn't that a silly thing that we would say that? We don't believe that God would give us the strength to do something. That's absolutely ridiculous. But guess what? We think that so often. We do, so that's why we fall into the temptation. That's why we say, no, I couldn't really share the gospel with somebody like pastor can. Or, you know, I don't, you know, that guy looks kind of mean. I don't know that I can show the right kind of love to that person. Or I got somebody that doesn't like me very much. How can I possibly show God's compassion upon them? Or I've got somebody that's really wronged me. How can I forgive them? I've got God's Holy Spirit living in me to strengthen me by his Holy Spirit. Ultimately, so that Christ may dwell in my heart. That sounds weird. That Christ would dwell in my heart. Christ is in heaven. But he also said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So why do I need strength for Christ to dwell in my heart? I think it has to go back and it reminds me of when Jesus says that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, that we'll bear much fruit. I think it was the fact that the Holy Spirit works in us to display who Christ is. To help us to live and walk with Christ in the way that we live our life. So that way we're strengthened so that Christ may dwell in our hearts. So that way we can demonstrate to others that Christ is on that throne in our heart. We have a throne room up here. Did you get that feeling when he came in? That it's kind of a throne room up here. Maybe you saw there's a crowns up here. And we were talking that maybe for a game, that when the kids come in, we'll kind of play like Foursquare. You know, in Foursquare, you got four squares. And you got the king, the queen, the jack, and the... What's the last one? I don't know. The ace. No, it's the ace, the king, the queen, the jack, right? I don't know what it is. But you got to try to get that top spot. And so if you knock somebody out, especially if you knock the first guy out, you all rotate once. So we thought we'd have a king chair and a queen chair. Now, it looks like a throne up here. And sometimes it's described in our heart as a throne. Now, not in our real heart, right? But in the center of our life, there's a throne. And the question is asked, who's sitting on the throne? Is it you or is it Jesus Christ sitting on your throne? Is that who it is? As Christians, it's so easy for us to get up there and kind of scooch God out of the way, right? We want to be the ones in charge of our life. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be strengthened to allow Christ to reign in our life. Why is that important? It reflects who God's character is. It helps us when we are having difficulty and trouble and striving in life. Because we know that if Christ has got my back, if He's the one that's in charge, no matter what's happening, I can trust Him, I can be at peace, I can rely on Him. I know I don't have to worry. Zach is at a point where I don't sweat so bad when he drives. That's because I turn the air conditioner on. I'll sit there and look at emails or something when he's driving here from church or something. Why? Because I trust him driving the car. Now, I don't know if Don quite trusts him to drive the van yet, the new van. But the car, at least, I admit, maybe she doesn't care about me. No, that's not really not it. I trust him to do that. So I don't have to. Now, sometimes I get a little nervous, yeah? But I think he's pretty got it down enough to do that. And I can trust God. So why won't I trust him? Well, it's difficult. But the Holy Spirit strengthens me to enable me to dwell in Christ, to have Christ dwell in my heart through faith. I think it's a mutual thing of Christ dwelling in me and me dwelling and living my home, make my home in Christ. And with that, being, he continues in here in verse 17, that you being rooted and grounded in love, in our faith and in love. We have that faith. We're grounded in Christ's love. What does that mean? You've seen a couple that's just kind of a new couple, and she sees him talking to some other gal. It could be that she asked for directions somewhere, and he's being nice and telling her the directions, how to get somewhere. Or maybe she's saying, hey, you're kind of good looking. He's saying, look, I've got a girlfriend. It doesn't matter what he's saying. He's talking to another girl. And so she's all nervous and she's scared. And she thinks, man, he's falling for somebody else. He doesn't like me anymore. It might happen in a marriage relationship where you might get nervous because he has to be work late seemingly a lot more often than he used to. Doesn't he like me anymore? Or is he still at work? And starting those doubts. But love that's really grounded. Love that's really solid says, I'm not worried. I trust them. It's not a blind love, but be able to say, you know what? I know they love me. Do you know God loves you? Do you know that He loves you so much that this love is just incomprehensible? Look here, he says, being rooted and grounded in love. It is through faith and now in love. And in that love, we're solid. We know God's word. We know the kind of love that He has for us. And our love, and we turn to Him. He says, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ. Wait a minute. He says here back in verse 18, be able to comprehend. But then he says in verse 19, the love of Christ which passes all knowledge. In other words, you can't know it. Then why does he pray that you do know it? The same way that you can't figure out how the sun gets its light here. Well, sure, the sun is... Someone turned the switch on, and so the light comes here to earth, right? Okay, but what about all those little particles that the sun is made of, that the light's made of? You know, how does that emit? How does that burn? You know, I talked with Butch or somebody was talking, and somebody else maybe, and we were talking about the sun. How we're amazed how the sun, you know, it burns right there in where there's no oxygen or anything out there in space. And then somebody came along, Dana, of course, because he knows everything, I think. No, he doesn't know everything. Keith knows everything. Dana knows a whole lot. Dana tells us that the sun doesn't really burn. It's a fusion that happens, I don't know what. But it's something chemical that's reacting, that's causing it. It's like, wow, that's fascinating. How does that happen? See, we can have an idea, a general idea, basic idea. The sun is, you know, shining, and the clouds aren't in the way, so we get hot and it's bright out. But how does that really work? And we start thinking deeper and deeper about it, and it's really amazing. What about Christ's love? It's deeper and deeper. He wants us to know it even to a greater degree, more and more. That kind of love, so that while we were without strength in due time, Christ died for us. God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? For God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. For he who his own self bore our sins in his own body, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. The illustration is given, if you had cancer, and I had the ability to take that cancer and put it upon myself, would you want me to do that? Sure. Right? I mean, you like me, you wouldn't want me to suffer. But if there was a way for you to be spared, or somebody you loved to be spared, why would I do something like that? Wouldn't love have a big part of that? Christ took our sin upon himself? What kind of love is that? What kind of love is it that God has that you would sit here being who you are, having done the things you've done? God knows every one of them. Everything you've thought, even since before you walked in these doors. He knows the attitude you have, the motives that you have. He knows why and what you've done since before you're born. And yet, he still loved you enough to send his one and only Son to pay the penalty for your sin? I tell you what, if there's something to contemplate in life, contemplate that. That'll make your brain spin. How can he have that kind of love, not only for me, but for the terrorists that were the same kind of love, believe it or not, the same love he showed upon you is the same kind of love he showed to those three in London last week. The ones that got out and they tried to run people over, and they got out and said that it was for their God and stabbed people. God loved them so much, he sent Jesus to die for their sin too. That's how much God loves. And by the grace of God, those who are of that same mentality will understand how much God, the God of the Bible, truly loves them. And they'll turn their heart to him instead of their own God. It's the same God that had the same compassion on us. And we deserved it no more than they. That's amazing love. Paul continues. He says in verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Look, to really get a grasp and a hold, understand the Holy Spirit strengthens us in our inner man, that Christ might dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we, being rooted and grounded in love and in your faith, may understand, have a better understanding of God's love, to be able to comprehend it more and more, not being able to fully take it all in, but the deeper and the longer we consider it, the greater God's love is. And in so, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. I thought through that. What does that mean? God lives in us by the Holy Spirit. So how... you know, how does Paul mean that? I consider that the Holy Spirit at times would fill the disciples and the apostles during the book of Acts. He fills us at times as well. But at times where they said things that maybe they otherwise wouldn't have said, still in control of who they were, but God directing them. God showing them later on what to write, and the Holy Spirit moving them. I think it's a matter of us surrendering ourselves to realizing God's love and surrendering ourselves to Him completely. So that way, God can have His way with us. God can use us for His glory. We can think His thoughts after Him. We can look and say, you know what, I know this is what honors God, and that He'll strengthen me to do it. Consider here, Paul is writing here. He's writing a prayer to the Ephesians. It's a prayer that we ought to pray for one another and even for ourselves. It's to be strengthened by God's Spirit. It's to be rooted and grounded in love, to be able to comprehend God's love. It's to know that love, that we might be filled to the brim with God. How will that change the way that we talk to one another? How will that change the way that we look at those that need compassion? How will it change our anger? How will it change our lust? How will it change our greediness, our self-centeredness? How will it change the way I spend my time with God? When I know that God strengthens me, that He loves me, and He wants me to be filled to the brim with Him. We look at this passage and we consider that God has done this on account through His Son, Jesus Christ. We're going to sing, Jesus Paid It All, to remind us of the love that God showed us. We're going to participate in communion to remind us of the love that God has for us. And as we do, not only do we need to make sure that our hearts are prepared to participate, having put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, be walking with Him in obedience, confessing that sin that maybe we haven't taken care of yet, remembering that He strengthened us to be able to come before Him, that He loves us with a love that we can't even fathom, and that He wants us to be filled to the brim with who He is.